know, 2 weeks ago, we ended a series on the Holy Spirit. And if you know much about the Holy Spirit, you read about it, there are many gifts that the Holy Spirit provides, empowers the church with to do, to be able to complete the ministries of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're gifted with those things. It isn't so that we can show off. It's so that we can be the representation of Christ on this planet till he returns for us. And I'm just curious, you know, we prayed, there were about seven of us up here praying, and there were quite a few people that came up to be prayed for, either to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is separate, as most of us know, from being saved or from being water baptized. And I'm just curious, how many of you would say, since that time, because we prayed for some, I heard some of you begin to speak in a divine prayer language immediately in another unknown tongue, is what it's called. But and some of you we encouraged, we said, hey, God can do this at home. God can do it in the shower. God can do this anywhere when we're just willing to listen and open up to him. And so I wonder how many of you would say in the last couple weeks you begin to speak in other tongues. Can I see? Right here? Any others? How many were filled that day and you're here this morning? Obviously, if you weren't, you can't respond. Right here? Right here? Okay, any others? Over here? Praise God. You know, it's God's desire that all of us would receive his gifts. God's not picky. God loves his kids. God wants to give good gifts. And so often we talk about, you know, all the gifts of the Spirit. But the purpose of them is to help us grow and be more effective in following the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if you read in 1 Corinthians 12, you read about all these supernatural manifestation gifts. When I say manifestation, it's because it's the power of God being realized, being made public, right? It manifests. It becomes something visible or real in some way. And we read about all those gifts that are listed in there, like prophecy and that sort of thing. And God tells us we should desire those kinds of spiritual, supernatural gifts. But God also gives each one of us common gifts. And maybe they're not really so common, but we think of them as common because they're not all this supernatural kind of thing we feel going on, although they are, because what God gives is always from him, and it's got to be supernatural. But gifts like gifts of service, and those are just as spiritual, just as supernatural as the other divine gifts, and you know, really practical and definitely needed. In Romans 12, we're going to read that. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, you know, just to stop right there, I was reading that even this morning. The privilege and authority God has given me. Now, this is a person who knows his God, who knows Jesus. This is a person who's been filled with the Spirit. He knows the privilege he has. Now, we've got to remember, we are privileged. If we know Jesus, we are privileged. That is nothing, oh, yeah, I go to church. Well, whoopee-doo. So do a lot of people. But are you privileged? Do you know Jesus? Because if you know Jesus, you're privileged, and you have some authority over the things that are around us. That's why we pray. That's why you see me extending my hand. Does my hand have anything in it? I hope not. But it's saying, I agree. God, whatever authority you've given me, I am privileged to agree for that. I want to see that happen because I know you can do it. And I'm going to believe with you, God, because you already know. You just need me to agree. You see? So he said, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. That's good words to heed to. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves, here's how to know, by the faith God has given you. But you know why? Everything we have is nothing we can claim to. Whether it be our money that we prayed for a minute ago, whether it be your talents, or whatever kind of IQ you think you hold on to. I mean, whatever you want to brag about isn't yours to brag about. You are privileged. Be honest about it, he says. Come on. It's because of God. It says, God has given us, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. God has given us gifts to do things well, certain things. So that means not all, everyone's a little different. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do that gladly. You know, so often we think about these kinds of gifts, kindness, you know, hospitality, we dumb them down like they're not nearly as significant as prophesying. Oh, those are great. We all want that. But God says, these are gifts I've given to the church. And, you know, so often we think, too, about the fivefold ministry, the exact ministry purposes God gives, like apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And I'm just as sure as I'm standing here, I'm sure God has gifted some of you for those positions. Maybe you haven't realized it yet. I was sitting in a place just like you. Never thought that I could be standing up here. Not in my wildest dreams, wouldn't even enter the radar screen. Wasn't on there. God can do funny things. God's already gifted some of you to do things you haven't yet to discover. That's why we're going to do that later on, those of you that stick around. We're going to discover some of those things that maybe God has begun to birth and is starting to try to come up through the ground a little bit, but you're not noticing it. These are good things to discover because this shows our future in Christ and the places and ways that God can use us to profit his kingdom. Or sometimes we think of the supernatural giftings, you know, and all those other things, healings, miracles, words of knowledge, discernment of spirits, you can read about it in Corinthians. But here in Romans, he describes gifts of prophecy and faith. He does mention that. But he also lists the supporting and equipping gifts, like serving, teaching, encouraging, or exhortation, if you want the fancy word. Giving, leadership, kindness, which could be also interpreted as mercy, mercies. These are grace gifts. And you know, so often we don't think these are much of gifts, but they're so badly needed in the body of Christ today. Amen? These gifts, how many of you love it when someone is really genuinely kind to you and it surprises you? Because it doesn't happen enough, doesn't it? It just doesn't happen. Or someone says something encouraging to you. Like, you know, you're having a bad day, and you say, yeah, my life is just, you know, it's a mess. And the people, yeah, it is messed up. There's a bridge. You know, that's not encouragement. You need someone to say, hey, let's talk about that, because life can be a lot better than what you're going through right now, and this too shall pass. Sometimes you need someone to come along and do those things. It's important stuff. They're selfless gifts as much, and they're just as much the hands of Jesus as the supernatural miracle giftings, because they have purpose. I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Says this, always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Enthusiastically. Always work enthusiastically. That means, wow, with energy for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So all those times that you think, I don't do much, that's not what God says. It's not useless stuff. It's important that you have a smile on your face. It's important that during the meet and greet time we did at the beginning, that you can make someone feel a home and needed. It's important stuff. It's never useless, but we should always do it enthusiastically. I remember there's anyone here from the Tulsa area today? Okay, that's in Oklahoma, where you've been reading about the twisters, the tornadoes tearing up all kinds of stuff. But anyway, there was a ministry there called Fire by Night, which was part of Willie George Ministries, which was a great big thing at the time. And they had this, I was a youth pastor, and they had these big youth outreaches that we worked with them a lot, and they would come up and do these big events. I remember one time one of the head guys, and everybody would go, wow, this guy, you know, they had a TV show, they had everything going on, you know, they did some movies and things. And he was talking, and he says, you know, he says, never despise small beginnings, like useless things. He said, when I first came on staff here, they hired me to clean the toilets. They hired me to sweep the floors. I didn't think I could ever be doing what I'm doing now. But he said, you know what? I made the decision to do it enthusiastically for the Lord. You know, it says for the Lord. Didn't say for the building. Didn't say for the big guys that have all the glory. But it's for the Lord. And he said, you know what? I love cleaning those toilets. When I got that brush out, it was me and the brush taking on the world. We're going to clean those toilets. They're going to shine. They're going to smell good. He said, I'd pray over those toilets in tongues. He's just doing that praying in tongues. He said, they're the most anointed toilets in the city. I guess it's possible. And you know what? God saw that. And God promoted him and promoted, and he kept working enthusiastically as under the Lord. God kept promoting him, and he started with a toilet brush. And now he was one of their main preachers and video designers because he showed he was willing and nothing was useless. So the next time you think you have nothing to give and you're not gifted in any way, think of that guy with the toilet brush. Maybe you need to go grab your toilet brush and look at it a while. You and it in the mirror. And talk to it if you want. No one will think you're crazy. Yeah, right. But you could talk to it in the mirror. And remember the story, nothing is useless. You know, the cool thing about God's gifts, they're not limited to what we already have. Now, some of you say, well, you know, I like people. I like to make people feel comfortable in my house, called the gift of hospitality. That's great. But you know, God can give you more gifts. But the funny thing is, God watches to see if we're faithful in the little ones, like the toilet brush guy. Here's your gift. This is a gift. Thank you, you know. But he was faithful and he did it with the right attitude. That's everything, isn't it? And God bless. God can give you more gifts. But first, he's going to see what you've done with what he's given you. Thus, it is so important to discover the gifts we already have so that we can define them and use them properly so that God can go, there's one right there. I can give that guy more. He's been faithful and little. Man, he loves that toilet brush. Now I can move him up to the hallway with the broom. Big promotion, right? Next stop, well, I'm moving him into the video room. Oh, next stop, now I'm giving him a microphone. Oh, you know what I mean? God can continue because if you're faithful, God will always have more. And God always wants to do more. Amen? That's the way it is. It's all about trusting us with what he's given. Being a steward, a wise steward. Not, you know, we think of stewardship, we think of money, don't we? God says, money's nothing to him. Money's trash. Money's no better than the trash flowing around on the ground out there on a windy day that blows in your face. You go, ugh. Money, to God, that means nothing. These other things are so much more valuable to God. It says the eyes of the Lord, and I don't think we have this, and I didn't give it to you, but in 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. It's a great power verse, those of you that remember our power verses. We have a new one this week. I'll share it with you in a minute. But that's a good one. There's about four of them in here. I'd say, man, if you can get them. You know, I just made a point when I read that. God, I want to be strengthened by you. Your eyes look across this whole world looking for those who are fully devoted to you. You want to strengthen them. I want to be that. It's good to remind yourself of these things. And God says, you know what? You're fully devoted. I've got more. He's looking for opportunities. And these grace gifts are just as much our inward desires. Now, sometimes you say, well, how do I know it's just me and not God? Well, because if it's in you, God maybe put it there. You know, sometimes we just have to remember the things that we desire that are right and pure, like it says in Philippians 4:8. Those are the things that maybe God's already birthed in our spirit. When we take delight in God and His will, God Himself will place desires within our hearts that He will use to fulfill. Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart." Now, too often we read that, and I know you can read it another way. God, I want this, my desire. Go get it. I don't think, you know, like, run along, God. You know, I don't think so. God puts desires in our heart for those that delight in the Lord. That's why sometimes you may think I'm a little fanatical about worship. I wasn't too bad today. But sometimes I just want you guys to delight in the Lord, because He wants to give you the right things in your heart so you can start living a life of value where you can say, just like you heard Ahab up here, he's waiting for a bus that never showed up. Then he got on the right bus. And that's what God wants to see happen for each of us. When we align ourselves with Him, He begins to place godly desires in our hearts that were once full of selfishness. How do we do that? By desiring to enjoy His presence, nearness, and the truth of His word, which is the Bible. There's never any substitute for the Bible. And John 15:7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." There again, lest you think, well, God has to do what I say. He says, if you remain in me, that's the key. When we are that close to God, we're not going to want selfish stuff. God knows that. And that's how He can say that with confidence. He knows that if we're actively looking for Him in our life and in our direction, seeking Him wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, like we said a minute ago, that we will not ask and be selfish, but will be humble, serving, and kingdom-centered. 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 Whatever gift you've received to serve, gifts to serve, blessed to serve, grace to serve, on this spiritual gift survey that we're going to be taking, there's a list of 25 gifts, and you can see all of them there. And I've got some emboldened because the other ones are a lot of them are supernatural gifts and different things like that. But go to the next slide, if you would. I want to really concentrate on these, the supporting and equipping or grace gifts. And here's the description, giving. And you could put supernatural in front of all these, but it takes our cooperation. So the natural meets the supernatural always. It's the desire and ability to give freely, cheerfully, and sacrificially of one's money or possessions for the sake of Christ and His body. In other words, the church, believers. Helps. The desire and ability to unselfishly meet the needs of others, freeing them to exercise their spiritual gifts. Very beneficial. Service, the desire and ability to identify unmet needs in the body of Christ and beyond, to use whatever resources necessary to practically meet those needs. Exhortation or encouraging, okay? The desire and ability to encourage, comfort, challenge, or rebuke others to action in such a way that they respond. Leadership, the ability to provide overall vision for the body of Christ to provide direction for others in such a way that they willingly follow and work together, all for Christ. Evangelism, the desire and ability to share the gospel with unbelievers in such a way that people respond and become followers of Christ. Mercy, the desire, or kindness, the desire and ability to show great empathy and compassion for those who suffer physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and to assist them. Voluntary poverty. This is one that people don't like to know about. The capacity to live in low economic status in order to identify with and minister to the poor and oppressed more effectively. Who do you think of when you think of that? I think of like Mother Teresa. Someone that lives in the streets of Calcutta. You know, my wife was telling about the new pope. And this is a guy that when he lived in South America, he took buses everywhere so he could be with the people. I'm like, way to go. And you know those red shoes that we've seen the Pope wear that cost like 5,000 euros or something? He doesn't want any of that. Matter of fact, the fancy room at the Vatican or wherever, you know, I guess that's where he lives, is he doesn't want to stay in that. He sleeps supposedly in just a small room with just a bed. You know, just very Spartan, very, just like that, you know. He's just like, I don't need this. This isn't what I want to represent Christ to the people. Praise God for guys like that. Hospitality, the ability to open one's home freely and without reservation, even to strangers, for the purpose of serving those who are made welcome. Well, you could also say it's people at the door here in the morning that greet you. That's hospitality. It doesn't just have to be in your home. Intercession, the ability to pray for extended periods of time and see frequent and specific answers to prayer, often standing in for others in their weakness. Administration, the ability to provide organization for the goals of the body of Christ by designing and carrying out an efficient plan of action. Teaching, the ability to clearly and accurately communicate the truths of the Bible in such a way that people learn. Is there another slide or is that it? That's it. Okay. And, you know, these kind of gifts right here are overlooked and unnoticed by the one holding the gifts. But they're for a purpose, need to be used. God blesses us to be a blessing. What if every Christmas, this starts when you're just a little kid. Let's say now you're 50. Some of you will be 50, don't worry. I never thought I would be. Anyways, your best friend every year loves to give gifts. It's a gift giver, they're called. And every year they give you this gift at Christmas, but you always thank them nicely and you go put it in this room. You close the door till next Christmas. After 50 years, you've got that secret room full of all these gifts and presents that your best friend had given you. Then one day your best friend's at the house and your mom, who's now 70, she's giving a tour of the house. And lo and behold, she opens the secret room and your best friend sees all the presents for 50 years that she's been giving you that they thought were really special, designed just for you, knew that you would just love it, spend a lot of money, costly presents, still in the wrappers, a little dust on there, spiders crawling around, but they're in that room stacked from the floor to the ceiling. What would your friend feel like? Wow. My best friend. How do you think God feels when he gives us these gifts and we just tuck them away somewhere and we never use them, we never open them? We never, oh, it's just another gift. I bet it's a pair of socks. Oh, it's a tie. You know, it's some, you know. If we have a room full of gifts never used, what good is it? Unopened gifts from God are wasted, and it robs a blessing God intended for us and to others. You know, in Ephesians, Paul is talking to slaves about how to interact and respond their attitude. I mean, if you're a slave, it's not a great place to be. And he's talking to these slaves about how to respect their owners, I guess to use that word. Ephesians 6, 7 through 8. And he says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. He's saying this to slaves about their masters. Serve them wholeheartedly like they're God. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good you do. Wow. Serve wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. What a different approach to service that is. You're a slave, respect your masters. Serve them like it's God. But they're mean to me. Serve them like it's the Lord. But I got chains on my feet. Serve them like it's the Lord. Because I will reward you. They won't, I will. So we're serving Jesus Christ just as much as we serve people. It's about attitude and stewardship. God always elevates the humble. Always elevates the humble. And you know what else? He hates the proud. Hates it. He never promotes the proud, boastful, or lazy. Proverbs 3:34 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I want grace. Grace to do the things God's called me to be. Grace just to serve. To be exalted in our own minds or to seek honor and approval from others in order to satisfy our own pride is therefore to shut out God and His blessings. When we want to do things because we want attention, we just lost. God exalts the humble, but He hates the proud. You know, I'm really blessed on Sundays when I walk. Well, I'm already here. What am I saying? When I come in from out there and come back in, and I see like Leticia and Jin Jin at the door, and they're smiling. You know, that blesses my heart to see people that came early, or the guys I got here this morning always pull up out here and avoid all the broken glass from the beer bottles and stuff usually, and unload my car because I always have a whole bunch of junk. But a lot of the guys are here already bringing up the big heavy junk, and that just really blesses my heart when I see these guys that crawled out of bed early on a Sunday morning so they could just come and serve and laugh about it. Attitude's everything, huh? You know, I love it when we do a prayer event and people give up their time to connect with God, intercede for others' needs, and to see revival want to come to Europe. We're going to be having one of those coming up here the end of June. I love it when we see that, you know, taking what faith people have and then fanning it into a flame. It may be little, but it's not useless. All of it is profitable. And God takes note of these things. Why? Because it's the very character of Christ. It's the very character of God. One of my favorite all-time Bible passages, and this is where the power verse is coming for next week, those of you that are into that. I hope you are. You know, take notes. It may be old-fashioned. Pen and paper is great. I remember last week, I took notes. I'm not above learning stuff, that's for sure. I need all the help I can get. I take notes even when I've taken them before because I need to get it in here. This is a lot of bone right here and very little brain. You know what I mean? I need to pound it in there. So I just, if something hits you, write it down. Remember it. Engrave it in your heart. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. And these first two verses, 3 and 4, are going to be our memory verse for next week, which you'll be able to find online as well. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, humble again. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same, you could say, attitude of Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, which he could have. I mean, he is God. He could do anything. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, a slave, really. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, even becoming obedient to death, death on the cross. Imitating Christ's humility is what we're called to do. Some of us will never have to die on a cross, but we can think of others above ourselves. And we can think about the gifts God wants to use to build His kingdom and how each person is gifted. But if we just lock them in a room and throw away the key, those gifts never get open and they're not valuable for anyone. He gives us the ultimate example, humility and sacrifice, two indispensable ingredients for kingdom success and pleasing the King. Humility and sacrifice. Indispensable. You want God's attention? There you go. Do those things, do it with the right heart and attitude, and God will bless that. Imitating the attitude of Jesus, even if it costs some. It may be energy, it may be time, it may even cost you some money. But at times, it may be humbling, but it's always about having an attitude of obedience. See, it doesn't matter how gifted you think you are or how much better you are than the menial task that's before you. It's all about our attitude and what we're going to do for Jesus. There are no small beginnings. What we do unto Jesus. It's willingness in which we do it that tells the story. The last verse is the end of this Philippians 2, 12 through 15. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Oh, that should be a power verse. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. All right. God gives us gifts to shine, but He's looking to see if we'll be stewards of those gifts, if we'll serve joyfully, no matter how insignificant they may seem, that we do it wholeheartedly, joyfully, and God's going to do more. Father, I thank You for this time we have in Your presence. But Father, I ask that You really speak into our hearts about what's important. Speak into our hearts, Lord, about the things You want to do through our life. Let us be diligent seekers to know You better, but also to understand the giftings that You've qualified us to work in, that we would do those certain things well, that we would not abuse the gift, but rather, God, we would accompany the gift with a great attitude of joy and service. Everyone in this room is gifted. Let us, Father, cultivate those gifts that You might bless us with more, that we can even do more good. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.